This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. Our goal is to develop a real faith for the real world. This was recorded in a live service at Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. We hope it will help you grow in your faith. For more information, please go to www.berwynag.org.
I preach to the youth a message on the promises of God and the life of Abraham, and the promises of, or God's promises to Abraham. And as I was writing it out, I'm still thinking, okay, Kyle, well, this is a great sermon, but what do you want me to preach to the adults? And he was like kind of knocking on my head and telling me, dude, this is what I want you to preach to the adults. And I believe that if there's a reason why God wants me to preach this to the youth and to the adults, because at some point in time, somewhere, something got lost when it came to God's promises. And I believe that the youth and the adults need to hear this word, that this word is for you guys. Amen? Let's pray. God, we just ask and we pray, Lord God, that you would come in your spirit, Lord God, that you would empty me, Lord God, and make me a vessel, Lord God, so that these are not my words, Lord, but that they are your words, Lord God. I praise you for everybody who got up this morning and came in, Lord God, to hear your word, Lord. We thank you. We love you for your grace and mercy. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. So, Abraham and God's promises. I'm going to start off with two fathers' desires. Abraham, or Abram at this point in time, but I'll call him Abraham because that's what it changed to later. Abraham longed for a son, longed more than anything for a son. In fact, just before it talks about this, God had promised Abraham, Abraham, I am going to make you a father of many nations, and even greater than that, I'm going to make you a father of all those who believed. Even better than that, he said, if you look to the stars, if you can count the stars, that's how many children will be from you. If you can count the sand on the seashore, that will be how many children will come from you. But Abraham desired a son. And Abraham knew, I'm old. My wife is old. My wife, Sarah's really old now. Abraham knew, God, you promised me to be the father of many nations. I'm like 100 years old right now. I don't even have one son. Oh, Lord, I long for a son. But then the father desires, God the Father, he desires something for Abraham. And the coolest part about this is when your desires and God's desires, when they combine, when they meet in his perfect will, crazy things happen. Crazy things happen. So God's desire was to make him a father of many nations. It doesn't shock me that Abraham's desire is so much more puny than God's desire. You see, a lot of times as humans, we desire great things, but our eyes are so small. Our focus is so tiny. When God's focus is so vast and everlasting, and he sees this amazing potential in you, even though your eyes are narrowed to the macro shot. But God knows the deep desires of his people. And God knows Abraham, and he knows that he's longing for a son. And God knows that his purpose for Abraham's life involves him giving him a son. I can imagine the prayer of Abraham saying, oh God, give me a kid, someone to inherit my stuff. And God looking down at him saying, oh son, if you only knew the plans I had for your life. Oh, son, if you only knew what I want to do. You want a kid if you only knew how many you're going to get. And how many will spring from yours. And how many will spring from theirs. And how you'll be the father of the great in many nations. But here's the problem. God gives us these promises. God gives us this stuff. And he says, here is my word. My word is my bond. Here is my word to you. I promise you whatever. And we lose focus on this promise. And we become distracted in this promise. And we become distracted by the challenge. And we become distracted by the stuff around us. But we're not different than Abraham, because Abraham loses focus three times. Genesis 15:1, verses 3. The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. I'm going to say that again. I am your shield, your very great reward. God Almighty is speaking into Abraham's life saying, I am your shield, your very great reward. You are asking, Abraham, for a gift, for a blessing of a son, but I am your great reward, and I've already been given to you. I have given you my promise. I am your great reward. But Abraham fires back into prayers just like we all do. Oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my stuff, all my estate, is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you give me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Abraham, you better calm down. Abraham, better chill out. See, here's the thing. God has seen much past. Much, much, much past. What we can see. And Abraham's crying out for the son because he doesn't understand and he can't quite see the impossibilities of God and the impossibilities of God's promise. So he's crying out on his knees. Just one son, and God, imagine, is up there. And he's just like, dude, wait. Just wait. It's coming. You're having more kids than you want. The amazing thing about God is that he accepts and he knows our weakness. So anyway, God gives him the slap on the head, and he refocuses, and he's, okay, sorry, lost it there. You know, he's wiping the boogers from his face. And the Bible says, right after that, I believe it's 15:6, that he believed, and it was credited to him as righteous. He believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So time goes on. And there's 25 years in between the promise and in between the time Isaac is born. But in this time, somewhere in the middle, I don't know the exact day, but in this time, he begins to lose focus again. And he says, time's running out. God, time's, I still haven't gotten it yet. Where's my kid at? And he goes, oh, maybe I should go lay with this girl and make a kid. Okay, real quick, guys. I'm going to explain this to you, and hopefully you know this already, but Sarah tells Abraham, yeah, no, it's cool if you sleep with her. Sarah is Abraham's wife. If you guys are ever told that, it's a lie. You're being set up. I'm not even married, and I know that. It is not cool. It never works out if you go sleep with another woman and you're married. I don't care how much you want a kid, it don't work out. Where's the guys at? You guys know that, right? This isn't, nobody should be taking notes on that part. Wait, don't sleep around on my wife. Okay. But he goes, and just like we can expect here, nothing works out. He tries to force, ramrod God's plan into action, and it doesn't work out. Shock, shock. You see, when we try to push the planning of God, it's not in his time, therefore it will fail. It cannot be victorious. But even again, through Abraham's weakness, God still gives him a son. And he fulfills his promise and gives him the son from Sarah to inherit his estate. And time goes on, and Abraham just falls just head over heels in love with this kid, as all fathers do. And he falls head over heels in love with his boy, and he gives everything his boy, and his focus is on his boy. But his focus is so much on his boy, his blessing, that he stops looking at God. In fact, the boy has somehow eclipsed God from Abraham. People, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how great the blessing it is never greater than God. Because God is the blesser. It is never greater. But Abraham's mind got lost. His eyes became unfocused. And all he saw was his boy. The one gift of the many, the thousands of blessings that God wanted to give to him. But he lost focus because of the one little boy in front of him. Sure, he prayed. I bet you he prayed diligently for that boy. I bet you he sought the Lord all the time. But here's the problem. Unfocused eyes do not help. In fact, they hinder the promise that has already been given to you guys. So God tests Abraham. God wants to see in Abraham's eyes who sits on the throne of glory. God wants to see in Abraham's life, in his heart, in his mind, in his soul, who is number one. It's okay for that boy to be number two, but nobody steps in the number one seat of a God-loving man's life. And so he asks him, Abraham, why don't you take your boy? I want you to bring him to these mountains that I tell you about. And I want you to sacrifice him to me. That's a hardcore test. In fact, I do not believe anybody in here or many of us have ever had a test like that. Take the one thing that you love. I want you to take that and I want you to bring you this to the place that I've asked you to. And I want you to sacrifice your one and only true love. I mean, what would God know about sending his one and only son to die? Probably a lot. But he sends him there. And somewhere on the road, Abraham's eyes refocus back in on the promiser. They come in, they kind of refocus because the boy asks him, oh, Dad, we have wood and we have fire and there's an altar, but what are we going to burn? What is the sacrifice? At that moment, Abraham replies to him and says, God will provide our sacrifice. Those are eyes that are focused back in. Whatever it was, he must have realized there, boy, God will provide. In fact, it says that at that point in time, that mountain, that place was called God Will Provide. It's amazing how God will give in the abundance of his riches to those who are focused. You see, Genesis 15:1 again, I am your great reward. Even though he lost focus, he always believed, and God was kind of always able to correct his head, put the blinders on, and it was credited to him as righteousness. I am your great reward. See, our promises, God is our reward. He has, will, and always will give us out of his abundance, out of his riches. But the only truly way to show that you're grateful at any, not that you could ever pay back God, but the only way to even try is to remain focused on him. Never to be overcome by the blessings or by the promise, but always, always focused on God. Always, always focused on God. I'm typically against formulas or five-step prayer systems. But I want to talk today about these five W's of faith. How can we remain focused on God for the promise? These five W's will help you to remain focused. First one is who. Say who.
Who.
Say who.
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 There's owls in here. You didn't make the promise. It's not yours to fulfill. It is not your promise. You didn't say it. You don't have to complete it. That's a fact. You didn't give the promise. It's his job to fulfill the promise. Get your hands off the promise of God. It is not yours. It is his. God's promises are created by God. Oh, how arrogant we have become to think at any time that we could finish something that it took God to start. That it took God to plan. At what point in time did the human race think, oh, I got this? Let me tell you something. Get your hands off the promise of God. They were given to you out of love. They will be fulfilled to you out of love. They are God's promise. See, God's ways are perfect and just. Every promise is planned and is blessed by the perfection of the Father. Every move, every left, every right, every step is perfectly designed by the Father. Say when. When, God? When will the promise be fulfilled? God, when will you send me Isaac? God, when will you send me my son? God, when, oh Lord? For me, personally, this is the hardest one for me to swallow. When is for God to know and you to find out? You see, we're quite arrogant as a people. I want to know now. Give me it now. I want to Oompa Loompa now, Daddy. Sorry, childhood memory flashback. I want it now. I want to know now. It ain't your business. If it ain't your promise, it ain't your business. You will know when God wants you to know. No sooner nor later. When? See, the perfect promise has to be done in the perfect timing. See, God could give you, here's the plans for the promise. But you don't know God's timing. You don't know the things he is putting together like a magnificent chessboard. The moves that he's making to set up so that his plan always goes through effortlessly. I'm going to tell you something this morning. If it feels like you're dragging a rock up a hill trying to make God's promise, you're doing it, not God. But God's promises, God's plans always run smoothly. Why? They are ordained. They are set up by God. And in his timing, and in his timing alone, can they happen like that. Calm down, church. Bring it on down. A lot of times we look, oh God, the time clock is ticking. Oh God, we're running out of time. It's like a bad Batman movie. What are we going to do? I'm going to tell you something. God is not hindered, nor is he bothered by time. No ticking clock can ever stop God. He does not care about time coming down, for his timing is perfect. Never early, but never late. Do not get lost in the impossibilities of time. How will it work? I don't know. It ain't my promise. I just stand here and believe. Which brings me to the next one. Say what? What? What do I do, Matthew, if I cannot make the promise happen and if I do not know when the promise is going to happen? You believe. You believe, hands off, hands up, you believe. Remember, God is your great reward. He has already given himself to you in his promise. There's no point in worrying. You're wasting your time. In fact, if you find your eyes or you find your mind filled with worry, here's the deal. You've lost focus on whose promise it is because God made it. There's no point in worrying. People, just believe. Stand in faith. Stand in trust. Stand in strength. Just believe. The devil comes in and he begins to spit these lies in your face. And even your Christian friends around you might be saying, I'm not sure if God would ever say that. I'm not even sure if that was God. Do not believe, because your ears and your heart know the Father. And if God has promised something, nothing else means anything. It is God's promise. It's God's promise. Believe in your faith. And your trust will be credited to you as righteousness. Just like Abraham, that wasn't a one-time thing. That is a promise for all the ages. Just believe, and you will be my righteous one. And does God not bless the righteous? Does God, is not everything possible with God? Is he not our glorious one anymore? Does he not watch over the righteous day and night without ever sleeping or sleeping, as it says in Psalms? God is still good. God is still good, people. But you have to believe. Matthew, but what about my pain? Say, what about? But what about my pain? What about my heartache? What about my tears and my lost hours of sleep? What about my soul's longing? What about the healing? What about the promise? What about me? God is good. He doesn't promise and then forget. He's not like, oh, did I say something like that? Oh, I said that? Oh, my bad. What about my feelings? I'm going to tell you something. This spoke to me earlier this week. The righteous cry out. See, it starts off with righteous. And if it takes faith and belief to be credited as righteous, it means you have to stand and believe. But Psalms 34, 17 through 19 says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles. Not some, not 5 out of 10, but all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but he is delivered from them or from all of them. That is the promise of the Lord. Stand, be credited as righteous. Cry out, my ears will hear you, and I will deliver you from all of your troubles. If that don't get you jacked up this morning, I don't know what will. God cares about your feelings. God cares about your hurt and your heartache. He puts it in His Word so that it is never forgotten. And when your faith has been fully placed in the Lord and your trust has been fully given over to God, then you crack the Word of God and you are filled with His everlasting peace, His joy, and His love that is the Word of God. And when you're overcome with peace and joy and love, fall to your knees in worship, because that will soothe every heartache. The worship will soothe every pain, every longing. Worship is the breath of life for a Christian. Try worshiping. It has worked for every believer since the dawn of time. Oh, great are you, Lord, worthy of all praise. Though troubles come, you rescue me from them all. Oh, great are you, Lord. You are faithful to the end. You are closer to me than any brother. You are my companion. You are my strong tower, God. Nothing can move me. You are for me, like that song says. I know you're for me. Begin to be filled with the strength from the promise, from the Word of God. Begin to be filled. He is for you. Do not stay lost in the darkness without the Word of God, but be refilled. Know His promise and know He's there for you. I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. Repeat the things in your head so that when you stand up from your time of worship, that you stand a new person, a righteous person, a person who believes. Why? Say why. Why? Sounds like a little kid. Yeah, but why? Why trust, Matthew? Why wait for God? Why believe? Why? He is your victory. God is your victory. You want why? You want a good reason why? Because on your own, you have a slight percentage chance of ever succeeding. Maybe 30, 40% of what your potential is. But with God, you are a guaranteed victory to 100% of what your potential will and can be. That is the promise of God. He designed you. He made your potential. He alone is your victory. If there was a slot machine right now and it was guaranteed that you would always win, you'd be throwing money in left and right, always winning. God is your victory. And when you have your faith and your trust in Him, you are glorifying Him. A life that is filled with faith, belief, and trust in God is a life that is glorifying God. And a life that is glorifying God will be credited as righteousness. And in the end days, when you meet Him face to face, you will hear the well done, good and faithful service. Because not one righteous man that is not on this earth has never not entered into heaven's gates. Why? Because once you're out of God's promise, and your focus is on God, and your focus is on worship, and your focus is on His glory, and your focus is on how much you love Him, and how much you are just going to wait, and how patient, and how strong you will be for the promise of God. When you're in there focusing, you're out of God's promise. And God is able to come in. He's able to sweep in and do what He's got to do. Get out of His way. When you're out of His way, He's able to move freely. I want to ask you this. What has God promised you? What is the promise that has been given to your life? What has He just poured out? I don't care if it was yesterday. I don't care if it was this morning. I don't care if it's right now, 25 years ago, 50 years ago. What was the promise? What was the promise? You see, I believe some of us in this church have really lost the grip on the promise. Maybe the promise has slipped out of our hands because it's been too long or the road's been too rough. But I believe God wanted me to speak this to you today, church, because this is your calling to come back to the promise, to come back to believe in the promise, to believe in the goodness, the faithfulness, and the loving power of God that He has, that He generously pours out on your life. This is your time, church. This is why you're here this morning. Come return to the promise. My question is this. Are there people in here that have no clue what promise I'm talking about? Is there someone in here that's saying, man, I need that promise. I need something more to believe in. The weight on my shoulders is too much. What is this God? What is this promise that you're talking about? God's promise is for you. It's for each and every one of His children. All you have to do is lay it down. Lay your life down. Let His will, let Him reign in your life. If you'd put some music on. There is a person, there is a God that loves and cares about you enough to stay awake each and every night without ever blinking His eyes. There's a God that cares about you enough to plan out each and every step for your life. To take the weight, take the burden off your shoulders. There's a God who cares for you like that. There's a God whose promises never fail. There's a God that is a guaranteed victory for your life. And that God wants you to have His promise this morning. If you are in need of a promise, I want to open up the altars to you. If you are in need of this God, if something in your heart's saying right now, I want this God. I want this. I need this promise. I need something more than I got right now. These altars are open. Jesus loves each and every one of you, and He longs, He desires to put promise after promise, grace after grace, love after love on your life. If I could have the prayer team come forward. I have people that want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. If you have a specific need for healing and you just need some time or you just want some alone time at the altar, this altar is for you. It is open. If not, I ask that you would respect and quietly be dismissed. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. We'd love to help you further as you grow in Christ. May God bless you. Come out and visit us at Christian Life Center, 3409 South Grove, Berwyn, Illinois. Or check us out on the web, www.berwynag.org.